Somebody asked me if I would explain, preach a sermon on Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. So that's what I'm going to do today. We're getting down here on these questions. There aren't too many of them left. Next week, the question is about marriage, and marriage is supposed to last forever. We have a real special sermon next week. All I will tell you is I won't be up here alone. I'll have some people joining me. It's going to be great. And so you're going to want to be there for that or watch it later on the website. Before I get to Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8, I guess really you have to start just at verse 1 because verse 1 kind of sets it up. And verse 1, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, beware of practicing your piety, your righteousness. Beware of practicing your faith before others in order to be seen by them. And beware of doing things just to be seen by other people, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Your motivation is to be noticed. And so he says, whenever you pray, now I'm at verse 5, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. And then he goes on to say, so when you pray, pray like this. And you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say it with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I think the person that asked me the question to explain Matthew 6, 5 to 8 is taken by the term secret place. So I'm going to deal with secret place in the beginning and at the end. Psalm 91, 1 to 2 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say that he is my refuge and my fortress, and in him I will trust. She who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow. The New International Version and the New Revised Standard Version translate secret place as shelter. She who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The word comes from the Hebrew sather. Sather means to hide or to conceal. And I thought about that, and I went immediately to Psalm 32, verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, Father, you are my hiding place. You're my hiding place. You'll protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. In other words, you'll hide me, you'll protect me, and you'll make me sing. You'll make me happy. Ask you a question. Do you have a secret place that you liked to visit when you were a kid? A secret place that you went to that nobody else went to, some place that you knew that you didn't think your parents knew, a place that was special to you, and maybe if one other person went with you there, it was your very best friend, and you were alone, and you were happy, and you could shut out the world. And if that's true, and some of you are shaking your heads, where was your secret place? Now, don't tell me. Was it the haymow of the barn, those of you that grew up on farms? Was it under the steps? Kathy had a pantry that was under the steps in her old house, and you could go in there and hide and be alone. Was it in a hall closet? Or my kids, where we lived in Gettysburg, there was a honeysuckle bush that made vines, and the vines made tunnels, and they would hide out in the tunnels and make a fort. Imagine that you could live there and no one knew where you were. I had two secret places. My father had a big desk. We still have it. A big industrial desk that came from Landis Tool Company. And because it was an executive desk, it had a large cavity in which to put your feet and your chair. Was very deep and very wide. It made a wonderful place for a little boy to hide, okay? And then the crawl space of the attic in our house. We lived in a small Cape Cod. We didn't have an attic. But we had a crawl space behind the knotty pine. And it was accessible by a four-foot door, and it went the length of the house. And I loved to play in there, except for when it was very hot. I loved to play in there in that crawl space, and that was my world, and I shut the world outside. You had a secret place. I know you did. Psalm 27 says, in the day of trouble, God will conceal me in his secret place, in the secret place of his tent. God wants to be your secret place. God wants to be that. And I'm going to close with that thought, but before I do that, let's talk about what else Matthew 6, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 talk about. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocriti, the hypocrites. Hypocriti was the Greek name for actors, Greek actors who wore masks to play different roles in different parts, okay? Jesus says, don't be like the, another word for the hypocriti is pretenders. Don't be a pretender. In Matthew's gospel, he uses that term 13 times, almost always to talk about the religious officials. The religious officials who love to put a mask on what they were doing, put a good face on their giving, put a good face on their prayer life, so that people thought they were more religious than they actually were. If I could go down a bunny trail for a minute. The temple didn't pass around offering plates like we did or baskets to receive the tithes and offerings of the worshipers. They had receptacles, 13 boxes. And in those 13 boxes, on those 13 boxes was a funnel. And you placed your coins in that funnel and it went down and you could hear it clanging as it went down. And it would end up in a receptacle to be counted later. The religious hypocrites, this is how much of a pretender they were. They would come with their coins and they would go to the money changer and change them for smaller amounts so that they actually had more coins than when they went and put their money in those funnels. It sounded so loud and it sounded so long and people would think, boy, they're really given to the religious programming of the temple. They really weren't. They just made it sound like. It's like this. Suppose your offering today was 50 cents. And you brought two quarters. And we had money changers, and you went to the money changers, and you took your two quarters, and you exchanged them for 50 pennies. Then when you put your money in the offering, it clink, 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 clink. And people that didn't see but were in earshot thought, my goodness, they certainly are giving a lot of money to the church. You weren't. You were given two quarters, okay? Hypocrisy. Theater. No wonder Jesus said, beware of practicing your piety before others just to be seen and congratulated by them. You'll have your reward. Your reward will be the affirmation of men, but it won't be of God. So let's come back to prayer. There were 4 hours of public prayer. 4 hours of prayer. And they were 6 in the morning, right after you get out of bed, 9 in the morning, 12 noon, and 3 o'clock. 6, 9, 12 and 3 o'clock, in which you stopped what you were doing wherever you were and you prayed to God. And you always prayed out loud, because if you prayed silently, people thought, this was at the time, people thought you were losing your mind and wondered what your motives were. So you always prayed out loud so that you could be heard. Anyway, 6, 9, 12, and 3. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders played a little game with that. And what they would do is they would make sure that when it came 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock, they were in a public place, like on a street corner or someplace, a venue where people were going to be, so that when they prayed, everybody could see and hear what they were praying. And Jesus says they love to stand on the street corners. The Greek word there means that they struck a pose of holiness and piety, you know. I don't know how they were. But they would strike a pose. Theater, pretenders, play actors. Jesus wasn't having any of it. He said, when you pray, don't act like the hypocrites. They love to pose so they can be seen and admired by other people for their religiosity. Oh, they'll have their reward. And whenever you pray, he said, don't heap up empty words and phrases like the Gentiles do. They think they'll be heard for how much they say. What he meant was, the Romans and the Greeks had different gods, a number of gods. And when they prayed, they went down through the list of gods. They wanted to make sure that they prayed to the right God for the right situation, because they weren't sure what the right God was. They went down through the list. And they added flowery language to it, so that it really sounded great. Thank you, sweetheart. So it really sounded great and flowery and theologically sounded smart. Let me try to give you, have you ever had a prayer meeting? Have you ever had a meeting where it was time for prayer and people outprayed each other? Now, I want you to do something. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. If you really want to have fun with this, have a prayer time with a bunch of clergy. Oh my word, are we ever wordy? Are we ever, Jesus called it blubbering. Jesus called it blubbering. The pagans, they blubbered. The pastors are notorious for this. We go on and go on, and we impress each other by how smart we sound, okay? We can go on for hours. I said on the upstairs, prayers peppered with scriptural points to ponder and impress, because we're pretentious. Hear all those P's? I just tried to make you think how smart I am with my English. It's called alliteration. But pastors do this. Oh, I get so tired of praying with pastors. I don't like to pray with pastors. Jesus said, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be something you're not. Don't put on a show. And for heaven's sakes, don't turn prayer into competition. That's not what it's about. You don't need flowery language. My dad used to come. We would make fun of him, actually, but it's a funny thing about prayer. My dad never talked in the King James language except for when we prayed. And suddenly King James language was what he used. Oh, Father, we sayest what we meanest, and we meanest what we doest, and thou knowest. And, you know, you don't need to do that to impress God or garner God's favor. But now I'm coming to the meat of the meeting. When you pray, go into your room, your secret place, and shut the door. There's a time for praying in public, and we pray in public in here sometimes. Liz will lead us, or Allie will lead us in public prayer. But Jesus was notorious for getting away to a secret place. In Mark 1, he went to a solitary place. After the feeding of the 5,000, he went on top of a mountain by himself, alone, to be with God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he stepped away from his disciples, even his three important disciples, so that he could be alone with God. Jesus appreciated solitude, and he wants us to be blessed by it too. I thought, why is that? That is because when we are alone, we experience greater intimacy with God. I mean, you have an intimacy with God in here, but not like when you're alone. When you're alone, you experience an intimacy with God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Okay? You can have an intimacy with God. When you're alone, you hear things that you don't hear when you're with people. And you understand and hear God's voice even better. When you're alone, you understand your need. When you're alone, you are convicted of your sin. I am. You know, when it's just me and God can talk to me about things that other people don't talk to me about, sometimes God wants to talk to me about where I need to improve and what I need to work on. When you're alone, you see things through the lens of eternity. And when you're alone, you're in a position for complete surrender. Lord, I just give it up to you. And whatever you want to deal with, you deal with. Whatever you want to say to me, you say to me. Okay? That is being in our secret place. That's what that scripture means. Jesus says, when you are in your secret place, when you pray, go into a room and shut the door. Well, everybody in the audience knew what he was talking about. The Jewish home only had one room with a door. It was the storeroom. Privacy was at a premium. And the storage room had the place, it was the place for daily sustenance and daily bread. It contained the wine, the olive oil, the flour, and the wheat, the grain, to make food and bread. Jesus says, go in there. If you were in a Jewish home and you wanted privacy, that's what you did. It's the only room with a door. And what Jesus was saying is, we would only listen, is when you pray, get yourself somewhere where you're not so easily distracted. Get yourself somewhere where you won't, where you can rest a while in the presence of the Lord. Get yourself somewhere where you can be fed by the bread of life. You know, it's almost illegal in this country to be alone anymore. It isn't. I'm being stupid, but with social media being what it is, and everybody glued to their cell phone, getting alone is hard. I mean, let's face it, it's a discipline for some of us to even be without our cell phones for an hour in here. And even then, you've got it on vibrates in case somebody wants you. Okay? It is hard to be alone. Jesus says, get yourself at a place where you can shut out the world and shut out your communication and follow into his protection and into the shelter, rest in the shadow of his arms. Just one more thing, and you know I don't think I brought it with me. Yeah, I did. 80 years ago, this little magazine was first printed. It's on its 81st anniversary this year. Interestingly, it's called The Secret Place. It has devotions each day. It has a prayer each day. It has a scripture thought each day. And it gets its name, The Secret Place, from the first text that I read, Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What is the secret place? The secret place, my friends, is wherever God is and wherever you are present with him. The secret place can be a physical place. I have a physical place in my home. I have a room that I have established as my prayer room. When I say my prayers in the morning, that's where I go. I've got a nice view of my backyard. I've got a nice view of my bird feeders. Listen, I write my sermons in my secret place. It's a place where I shut the door and have reserved for God and me. But I also meet with God when I drive. And I also meet with God when I mow my grass. The secret, you don't have to have a prayer closet in your house, as we say, to meet with God. The secret place is wherever you and God have communion with one another. He who shuts the door and dwells in secret will live, will abide in his shadow. Your address is not like mine, 7 Acorn Circle, Bridal Court, St. Thomas. Your address is God himself. And he wants to meet with you. Jesus says, when you pray, go where he is present, and he will bless you. He will bless you. Now, if I really did what I wanted to do, I'd send us all off in little corners of the church, and we'd have a prayer time, and then we'd come back and kind of share how it was. But since if I do that, you'll go to your cars and not come back, let's have a word of prayer together before we sing our last song. Lord Jesus, I know that our Father has asked that we set aside some time and a place where he can be present and we can be present with him. And in the culture in which we live here in America, that is increasingly hard, because if you're anxious of spirit and you're sitting in a hospital waiting room waiting for tests or for surgery, there's a television blaring. And the first thing that we do when we get in our cars is we flip on the radio or we flip on our music. And it is just so hard to find sacred space, undistracted space, where we can hear the Father's voice, where we can listen to his Holy Spirit conviction, and where we can pour out our hearts. But it is so important that we do that. And I pray that I know that he who is in secret, doesn't want us to make a big show of our faith, but he who is in secret will reward us in secret, because he will fill us with his love, he will fill us with his word, he will fill us with his will, and he will fill us with his peace. Help us to tune out the noise so that we can become more attuned to our God who loves us very much. And I pray that we will be enriched and replenished and refreshed. Thank you, Jesus, that we can always pray. And I pray today in your name. Amen.